was I a poor, miserable sinner. I am not poor, I am not miserable, and I am not a sinner. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is what I were, and if I still was, then Jesus died in vain. Amen?
That's popular radio and television preacher Joyce Meyer talking about how she sees herself now that she's a Christian. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight we talk about simultaneously saint and sinner. Could it be that Christians are both the saint we are declared in Christ and the sinner that we are as children of Adam? Here is Paul. It is most reflective. I don't understand my own actions, he writes, for I do not do what I want, but the very thing I hate, and the good that I want to do, I do not do, and the evil that I do not want to do, that I keep on doing. He goes on verse after verse lamenting his state. Now, many people say this is Paul as an unbeliever or reflecting on his life as an unbeliever, looking back on it. Is that true? We're going to talk about simultaneously saint and sinner tonight on Issues Etc. Dr. Stephen Hine joins us, and you can join us as well. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, December the 11th. Give us a call in the next 2 hours as we talk about simultaneously saint and sinner. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Or email us here in the studio at issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Stephen Hine is a regular guest here on the program. He is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, and he spent 23 years as a theology professor at Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois. Dr. Hine, welcome back.
Good evening, Todd. It's good to be with you this evening on what I think is just an extremely crucial topic for Christians everywhere and for our listening audience tonight.
Dr. Hine, let's go straight to that Romans passage where Paul is either talking about himself in the present tense or talking about himself when he was an unbeliever. Which is it?
Well, I think very clearly, if we take seriously his words, including the tense in which he is speaking, he is telling these Romans something about his life as he views that at the time of his writing. In other words, he's not talking about before his conversion. He's talking about a very important dimension of his understanding of himself right then as a Christian.
So what is he saying about himself? And there, by extension, we could say, what is he saying of the state of every Christian?
Well, those verses that you read there, in the middle verses there, beginning at around verse 13 or 14 there in Romans, where he talks about the good that I would, I don't, and so on and so forth, he begins with a statement of saying, now I know the law is good, but I am a sinner sold as a slave to sin. And then he clarifies what he means when he uses that pronoun I in the present tense, long about verse 18, I believe it is there, where he says, now I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. And for you NIVers out there, if you are reading the text, it says, I know that there is nothing good that dwells in me, that is, in my sinful nature. And that's the most important thing, it seems to me, that Paul is telling us about him as a Christian and about us as well. And that is that even though we have become new creations in Christ, and even though we have been robed fully in the robe of righteousness and are totally forgiven, nevertheless, that old sinful Adam that we were born with is still present and and a reality for the Christian throughout our Christian life here on earth.
Yet, so many Christians today have a hard time swallowing what you have just said, that the Christian is simultaneously 100% saint, at the same time 100% sinner. Do you think that 21st century Christianity has an anemic view of God's law, the perfect demands of God's law, and therefore an anemic view of what sin is?
Well, I think that in some quadrants in our church today, I think that that's a very insightful statement. It was some years back, I think, that the famous psychologist Carl Menninger wrote a book entitled "Whatever Happened to Sin?" And he was making not only a cultural recognition, but even looking at the Christian community, and that is that the whole idea of the problem of sin seems to be soft-pedaled. And I think that this is happening often in our churches today because there is this tremendous drive to be upbeat and positive in sin and recognizing the sinful characters that we have is so unbelievably downbeat that we downplay it and we minimize it and we turn it basically into a problem that we might have that we can overcome.
So let's see if we can come at it with this. It sounds like a riddle, but it really isn't. Are we sinners because we sin, or do we sin because we're sinners?
It's the latter. We sin because we're sinners. That is to say that sin is first and foremost not a behavior, but rather it's a human condition. It's really a corruption of the human soul that really dates back right actually to the moment of our conception. If we were to listen to the words of David, for instance, in Psalm 51, when he says, "Now in sin did my mother conceive me, and in iniquity I was brought forth," he is not making a comment about his mother. He's making a comment about himself and his own sinful wretchedness that goes back to the very beginning of his own very being, right when he was conceived into the womb of his mother. And I realize, of course, that even though David has said that, and it's in every Christian Bible, that particular thought right there about Christians seems to be a very difficult thing for many Christians to struggle with that reality. But it seems to me that that's very clear there. So we sin because we have a corrupt, sinful nature. We do not become corrupt because somehow our behavior isn't up to snuff.
Dr. Hine, with only a minute here to respond before we go to our first break, how would you respond to someone who says, look, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. There is no room in real Christianity for talking about ourselves as sinners any longer. We are new creations in Christ.
Well, I would say that this isn't an either-or. If we look at Romans 6, the chapter just before the one that we've been talking about on Romans 7, Paul does want to talk about how those of us have been baptized into the cross of Christ and that as he has died to sin once for all and has been raised for our justification, therefore we are to reckon ourselves as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, and that we have become now slaves to God in righteousness. And yet, as that is true, so also are those things that we've already gone over in Romans 7. In other words, we can look at a Christian in two ways. We can look at a Christian in terms of a dichotomy between what we are and who we are. Because the flesh is still with us, the old sinful self, we're still sinners. And when we say that, we're talking about our character. While at the same time, we're also 100% saints, and that is talking about how we stand before God, robed in the righteousness of Christ. We are saintly and holy and innocent and righteous because of the righteousness of Christ that is ours. At the same time, we can also talk about a duality of the Christian. That is to say that we are simultaneously a new creation in Christ, and at the same time also, we are still also, apart from Christ, an old fleshly sinful self. It's not either or, it's both and. Christian is kind of a paradox in that regard.
We'll talk about that paradox when we come back from this break. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We're talking about simultaneously saint and sinner. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Sunday, the 11th of December. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back, well, how did the percentages shake out? Am I 50% saint and 50% sinner? Or how does it work out? Does the percentage lean to one side as I mature in Christ? We'll be right back.
We've all heard about the unrest, atrocities, and persecution in the Sudan. Well, LCMS World Relief is on the front lines of providing comfort and hope through several projects. They're helping to provide emergency food for children in southern Sudan, school books and supplies, grinding mills for Sudanese in refugee camps, and enhancements to St. Paul Lutheran Medical Center in Khartoum. Now, for more information on how you can help support relief efforts in the Sudan, look for the LCMS World Relief logo on our homepage, issuesetc.org. Their phone number, 314-996-1683. Late last year, the Republic of Sudan and the Sudan People's Liberation Army reached a peace accord. Many Sudanese who fled their homes will be returning. You can help the resettlement and the education of these refugees by supporting LCMS World Relief, issuesetc.org, or 314-996-1683, LCMS World Relief.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Well, believe it or not, Christmas is just 2 weeks away, but you still have time to order our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December for your young child or your young grandchild. It's titled The Shepherd's Christmas Story, and it's by popular author Dandy Daly Mackel. You can find out more about this book on our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and order the book, 1-800-325-3040. It's called The Shepherd's Christmas Story, and it costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040. The Shepherd's Christmas Story, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. 1-800-325-3040. Tonight we're discussing simultaneously saint and sinner. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. Dr. Hine, another objection for your response here, and we've had people call this program routinely, I would say, when we talk about simultaneously saint and sinner, this scriptural truth, and they will say, look, I am not a sinner. They will say it very boldly. Now, when I'm permitted to do a little inquiry and say, okay, let's look at your life in terms of the Ten Commandments, walking through these commandments, they'll say things like, well, yes, okay, I haven't killed anybody. Okay, but have you harbored animosity in your heart toward your neighbor? And they'll say, yes, I admit I have, but that's my flesh. I walk in the Spirit, you see. That's my flesh doing that stuff. How do you respond?
Well, I would like to invite the individual that when he uses that word I, to realize that the Scriptures want to use that pronoun, I, to refer sometimes to that whole notion that, yes, I am a new creation in Christ, but I am also old fleshly self. In other words, this sinful self is not something foreign to me, that is the person, the whole Christian who is walking around. It actually deserves the pronoun I as well. And we opened our program here just a few minutes ago by recognizing that that's exactly how the Apostle Paul saw it himself, because he uses that pronoun I, not something foreign to him, but very much a part of him. But I know that I am sinful, sold as a slave to sin. He uses that I pronoun, the good I would, I don't. The very thing I don't want to do, I do. So I think that I would like to encourage Christians to understand that this is not an either-or in their own identity. They are not wholly one or the other, but they are simultaneously sinner and saint. They are simultaneously new creation in Christ and old fleshly self. And the best way that probably that I think it's helpful to kind of think about this paradox is to think of it this way. When I consider myself unto myself, that is, apart from Christ, and everything that Christ has done for me and everything that he has bestowed upon me, I am a sinner. But I can consider myself also in Christ. I can consider myself in relationship to his saving gifts and work, and in when I consider myself that way, I may recognize myself as a saint, for that's how I stand before God as Father. That's my status. And that is that also a dimension of me which has become a new creation in Christ that will live forever. And that is perfect, no question about it. So I want to keep pushing a both and here rather than an either or. It's a paradox here, and you need to hold on to both halves of it and not fall off on one side or the other.
Well, here's one way that people try to slice the apple and resolve the paradox. You said they're a paradox.
Yes.
The theologians have said, look, it's not just simultaneously saint and sinner, but it's also simultaneously holy saint, holy sinner, that is holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, 100%. But many would say, why not 50-50? Or a percentage that starts out somewhere near 50-50, but as the Christian matures, tends to lean in favor of the saint, and we become less sinner and more saint over time. How does that work?
Well, I think that misses the paradox. For instance, in the scriptures, there is no such category as being semi-righteous, nor is there such a category as being kind of semi-unrighteous. You're either righteous or you're unrighteous. You're either dead in your trespasses, or you're a new creation in Christ, and you are totally righteous. It is an either-or there. There are no degrees of righteousness, and there is no degrees of sinfulness. Sin brings death. Dead people are out of the running. They're beyond help. And so as we look at the Christian, it is to say that on the one hand, as a new creation in Christ, we have been reborn into the second Adam, and as Christ, according to his human nature, is perfect, so are we. So you can't get any better as a new creation in Christ. And the old fleshly self can never be reformed. It can be disciplined, but it cannot be reformed. And God has absolutely no use for that old sinful self. He wants us to smash it, bash it, and trash it, so to speak, crucify the deeds of the flesh and so forth. And when we return, when he returns again, or when we check out of this world, we will be rid of it completely. There is no model of reform here.
Now, with only a minute, and just barely that before we take our next break, Dr. Hine, how important is the scriptural distinction between law and gospel in understanding this paradox of simultaneously saint and sinner? Less than a minute.
Well, very quickly, maybe we can pick it up later on. This
yeah.
is extremely important because these two divisions in the Word of God, law and gospel, God's demand for what we ought to be, And then God's gift of righteousness and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. God uses each of these words to work with and to address these two aspects, sinner and saint. He uses the law to reveal our problem of sin in order to continually make us repentantly hungry to continually feed on the gospel. And the gospel, of course, is what he uses to continue to build up our faith and life in Christ and to mature us as a new creation in Christ. So law and gospel are really the two different ways in which God deals with us as sinner and saint by working between sinner and saint, repentance and faith.
Dr. Stephen Hines is our guest. We're talking about simultaneously saint and sinner tonight on Issues Etc. Next week on the program, we're going to discuss Christmas, fact and fiction, with Dr. Richard Bucher of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Lexington, Kentucky. Is Christmas Christian? Does Jeremiah 10, that chapter there about setting up an idol from a tree, does that forbid Christians to use Christmas trees? And what is the real origin of Santa Claus? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Richard Bucher. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead on Issues Etc., just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click the Upcoming Shows section. And while you're there at the homepage, be sure to find out more about the annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, January the 17th through the 20th, there on their campus. This year's themes, justification in the Scriptures and the person and work of the Holy Spirit. For more information about the symposia coming up January the 17th through the 20th, call area code 260-452-2247, 260-452-2247, or look for the logo of the Concordia Theological Seminary Symposia at our homepage, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to get your phone calls in and your email as well on the subject of simultaneously saint and sinner. The key phrase here, folks, for understanding, not resolving, but understanding the paradox is in Christ. We'll talk about that as well when we come back.
We all know the shepherds played a major role in the Christmas story. The angel of the Lord announced the Messiah's birth to the humblest, lowest people, not to kings in their palaces or priests in their temples. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for December is a children's Christmas book titled The Shepherd's Christmas Story. This beautifully illustrated book contains imagery of the 23rd Psalm, the Good Shepherd, and the Lamb of God. You can find out more about The Shepherd's Christmas Story on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Why not spend some time reading The Shepherd's Christmas Story with your young child or grandchild? The book costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org. The Shepherd's Christmas Story, our Issues Etc. book of the month, for December.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here. I'm talking with Dandy Daly Mackle. She is author of our Issues Etc. book of the month for December, The Shepherd's Christmas Story. Dandy, what is unique about the shepherd's perspective on the very familiar story of Christ's birth?
I think this book couldn't be better timed. There are a lot of people who went through hard times this year, and if we're not one of them, we know some of them. And the shepherds were those kinds of people. They were the ones that other people walked around and stayed upwind from and tried to avoid. And yet, of all the people that could have gotten that message, I think sometimes we lose sight of the awe of that, that of all the people that the announcement could have gone to, the ones who could have taken it from the manger and spread it, the word, it was the shepherds of all people, the uneducated shepherds. And so this is the shepherd's story, and they just start out and with that he could have come to kings, but instead he came to poor shepherds on a windswept hill outside Bethlehem.
Dandy, you've managed to weave together an awful lot of Bible passages in this book. Tell us about that.
Right, and you know, I think it depends on how deep a person's own knowledge of the Scripture is to how much, you know, the reader will identify. Some people will hear, for example, on the page it says, he could have come at the call of temple priests, but I remember the call of shepherds as we settled our sheep into the sheepfold. Our sheep know our voices. They follow us. We don't drive them, but lead them to quiet streams and green pastures. And we recognize that from the Psalms, but I think the book could sneak up on some people as well and get the message of Christ in, even if they're not that familiar with the Scripture.
Finally, would you read for us a favorite excerpt from the Shepherd's Christmas story?
Yes, thank you. Let me just, when it starts out, he says, he could have come to kings with the ta-ta-da, ta-ta-da, trumpets blaring, not to poor shepherds on a windswept hill outside Bethlehem. Yet I remember the woo-whoosh of the wind on that night. The stars shone down on our flocks, bright as a promise. And a little further on, when they get the message and they go into town and they're so excited and running through the town, the announcement by angels could have been followed by bells ringing. But I remember the slip-slap of sandals as we race, stumbling and laughing to Bethlehem, past the Roman guards at the gate, past inns and travelers. Slip-slap, the angels told us.
To order The Shepherd's Christmas Story, call Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or visit our website, issuesetc.org.
Had a very sobering conversation this last week with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, about the worldwide AIDS crisis. It's just one of the facets of one of the areas that LCMS World Relief is turning its concern and your relief dollars toward. He talked about children in slums who were orphans, and that's two strikes there, orphaned by AIDS, and the percentages just simply blow the mind. This is where they're turning their relief effort in many ways, LCMS World Relief, along with the message of the cross of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he has won for us at the cross for all sinners. For more information about LCMS World Relief, check out our website, issuesetc.org, or call LCMS World Relief and donate. Here's the toll-free number, 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. It is Christ-centered, cross-focused relief, LCMS World Relief, 1-888-930-4438. We're talking about simultaneously saint and sinner. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. He's director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, and he spent 23 years as a theology professor at Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois. Dr. Hine, we talked briefly before the break about law and gospel. You gave us a brief definition and began an answer to how this distinction between how God's word speaks these two words to us as Christians, how this is key for understanding, get a hold on simultaneously saint and sinner, as the theologians used to have said, simul justus et peccator.
Yes. Again, when we hold on to this paradoxical understanding of our identity, that is, how we see ourselves apart from Christ and how we know we are through faith in Christ, sinner and saint, another way in which we could look at this is to say, I remain a sinner in this sense, that the whole me still has the bent problem in my head, in my heart, in my emotions, and in my behavior. That old Adam is still with me. And the fact that that old Adam is still with me, it is important for us to realize that God wants to deal with that old Adam in a way that works for our salvation. And what he wants to do is to expose that to us, to break up our own sense of self-sufficiency and self-righteousness, to see within ourselves the sickness unto death, to produce the hunger of a repentant heart for the bread of life and for the living water, so that we are compelled again and again to go running to the gospel and there to feed, because it is the gospel which not only simply gave us new life in Christ, but it is the gospel which is needed in order to continually keep us in Christ, build us up in Christ, and equip us and energize us for the Christ-like life. And that, of course, is what he accomplishes through the gospel. So it's extremely important that we recognize that we're just not all saintly and new creations in Christ, because we need that law to continually remind us and to show us that problem of sin, so that we continually remain repentantly hungry to feed on the gospel, so that God may have his way with us to safely bring us to that fullness of glory in the better day that is coming.
You have used the phrase many times here, Dr. Hein, in Christ. How important is that phrase, in Christ? And what does it mean to be in Christ if our righteousness, our holiness, our sainthood is in him? Apart from him, there's nothing in me saintly, righteous, or holy, but in him I am all those things, declared all those things.
Well, it is to say that when we think in terms of how it is that we are saved, we're not saved whereby the forgiveness of sin is where God is somehow picking us up and saying, here, I'll give you another chance to square your life away. It is to say that the Christian's total righteousness before God is a donated righteousness. It is a righteousness that Christ bestows upon us through the gospel. And that bestowal is something that, on the one hand, he has already given it to us 100%, but on the other hand, we're always in need of more. In our baptisms, we were united to this Christ who wraps us up in that righteousness of God, which is the gospel. And that alone is our salvation, and that alone is what constitutes our holiness or our saintliness before God, not just when we were converted, not just when we were baptized, but for our entire Christian life. To lose that is to lose, of course, our saintly status and to lose our inheritance. And so it's extremely important that we continue to live that life of faith, which is a life in Christ, which God not only created, but he preserves again and again through his gospel.
Let's talk with our listeners. We'll go first to Robert in Dothan, Alabama, and he's listening on XM Radio. Robert, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for having me on. I just want to say how important it is that you're talking about this subject. I've heard a lot of people say that the reason that they don't go to church is that Christians are hypocrites. But the truth is, if you're a true believing Christian, we all admit that we need Jesus Christ to forgive us for our sins, and that we are sinners, and that the only reason we're forgiven is because he died for us. Therefore, I think it's important that we talk about this subject a lot more often than we do. Like I said earlier, people just don't want to talk about sin anymore. But it'll really open up the doors for people to see that we make mistakes still, but it's Christ's blood that covers us.
Robert, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Hein.
That's extremely important, Robert. Robert, I think you have hit it right on. This business of Christians being hypocrites because somehow we aren't living the life that we know we ought to live is, of course, the whole crux issue about what the gospel of Christ and what Christianity is all about. We need to witness to the world and to one another a reality that I know is true in all of our Lutheran churches, and I wish it was true in all of them, whereby the first thing that we do when we step into a church is we confess before God and one another and the whole world that we are still dirty, rotten sinners, dead in our trespasses, that we are not the people that we ought to be in terms of our own esteem and doing. And therefore, we come to that throne of grace and cling to that and that alone as our life and our salvation. We need to make that witness to the world that we are just simply one sinful beggar talking to other sinful beggars on where the real food of life, eternal life, is. And that's Christ Jesus.
You know, before we go to this next call, Dr. Hine, it is a sad, terribly sad fact that even in Lutheran churches where the pastors and the people ought to know better, where we have this as the bedrock of our theological legacy, simultaneously saint and sinner, they abandoned the practice of acknowledging sin before God and seeking his absolution. And many, sad to say, many Lutheran churches abandoned it as well.
When we discount the problem of sin, we discount the forgiveness and righteousness of Christ.
1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Larry in Georgetown, Texas. He listens on KIXL. Hi, Larry.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Very well.
Two-part question. Is there a consensus among the pre-Augustinian church fathers on Romans chapter 7, whether Paul was talking about himself past or present? And two, are you familiar with an argument on Romans 7 put forth by a guy by the name of Ben Worthington in his latest book, The Problem with Evangelical Theology? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry, and thanks for listening down there in Texas. Dr. Hine, you got a minute here to take a stab at the pre-Augustinian view of Romans 7.
Well, I would say that the view in what we would call, I suppose, the history of exegesis on that particular passage has been mixed. One of the things that there was a tendency to do in certain strains in the history of exegesis is to allegorize biblical texts. And Romans 7 certainly has had some instances in which that has occurred. But one of the things that has been extremely important, and it's one of the hallmarks of the Reformation, is the recovery of the understanding that what the Scriptures mean is what the Scriptures say. That is, you don't have to jump to some other system or understanding to get at their meaning. You don't have to use reason, and you don't have to use allegory. And that is one of the blessings of Luther and the Reformation. And when we approach Romans 7 with that understanding, what the Scriptures there say is in the present tense, and so therefore what the apostle means about himself there must therefore also be understood as in the present tense.
Folks, we have posted several articles on simultaneously saint and sinner at our website, issuesetc.org. Go there and click the What's New section. You'll find these resources waiting for you, including a series of articles written by our guest in this hour, Dr. Stephen Hine. Issuesetc.org. Look for those resources right there. Issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls. Justification in the Scriptures, Old and New Challenges to the Doctrine by Which the Church Stands or Falls, and the Holy Spirit as Giver, Gift, and Gifts are the themes for the annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. This year's symposia begins January 17th and ends January 20th. Now for a complete list of speakers, symposia schedule, or to register online, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call area code 260-452-2247. The fellowship alone is worth the registration fee, and you can experience the Christ-centered, cross-focused worship life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. It's the 2006 Symposia Series, January the 17th through the 20th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. For more information, issuesetc.org or call area code 260-452-2247.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, check out page 8 of the latest Issues Etc. journal or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. To receive a free complimentary copy of the next Issues Etc. journal or to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a year-end tax-deductible gift, call our resource line 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or just write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Before we go back to the phones, are you familiar with the book that Larry, the caller before the break, had mentioned there?
I must say that that I'm not familiar with it, so it would be a difficult kind of comment on that. But it sounds interesting, and I'm not quite sure what perspective, therefore, it would be taking.
You know, one of the arguments that I have found useful in conversing with listeners on the whole Romans 7 controversy is that if, in fact, Paul is talking about himself pre-conversion as an unbeliever and reflecting back upon his life as an unbeliever and woeing, you know, bemoaning his terrible state at that time, as many Christians contend, then they would have to say that unbelievers are, in a sense, simultaneously saint and sinner. A higher view of unregenerate man than Scripture paints, Dr. Hine.
Yes, I think that's an excellent observation. I think also that in order to understand Paul's understanding of the nature of the Christian and the fact that that the flesh is in fact still with us, one also can turn to places like the fifth chapter of Galatians as well as in Ephesians, where he talks about Christians as having both flesh and new creation, which he often refers to as spirit, and how they are at war with one another. You can't have that warfare without both of them being present. And so I think that not just Romans 7 in isolation, but taking Romans 7 in light of Paul's discussion of the nature of the Christian and the nature of the kind of warfare that is a part of spiritual warfare for the Christian in such places as Galatians and Ephesians also helps to nail down what he's getting at there in Romans 7.
Mike is listening on KCVW in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Mike.
Hello. It doesn't seem to me that we really become saints until we die. I mean, I don't know too many Christians that really think themselves as saints. But seeing how Paul, my question is, seeing how Paul was probably the greatest saint, you know, one of the greatest of us all, my question is he's obviously speaking of himself in a present tense when he says how he continuously does things that he doesn't want to do. Now, my question is, do you think that ever changes? I mean, do you think he feels that way throughout his whole life? I mean, because I've been a Christian for about 15 years, and I still tend to do a lot of things and have a lot of emotions and such that I don't really care to have and that I still battle with. And so that's my question is, do you think that's a continual thing for his whole life?
All right, Mike is paraphrasing Paul pretty well in Romans chapter 7 in his last statement there. Dr. Hine.
Yeah, I think the short answer to the question is yes, I think that is. I think you do have that particular problem throughout this life. And so the question if we can read Romans 7 and we can recognize, gosh, you know, I recognize that in my life also, when do I move on to Romans 7? And I think the answer to that question is when you go to heaven. We move on from Romans 7. We move on from battling this fleshly self from within when we are finally rid of that fleshly self, which is not going to occur until we either check out of this veil of tears or Christ checks back in. And at those points, we will be rid of that old sinful self. But until then, it seems to me that one of the hallmarks of maturity, of the new creation in Christ, is becoming more aware and more disturbed about the depths of that old sinful self, so that St. Paul could regard himself as the chief of sinners, because that's actually how he felt. When we grow in Christ, we grow in both our awareness and our appreciation, which actually is also kind of alarm in the magnitude of our sin. And that, of course, is not a sign of backsliding. That's really a sign of maturity.
1-800-730-2727. We've freed up a few phone lines with our callers. 1-800-730-2727. Listening on KFAX in Sunnyvale, California, here's JC. Hi, JC.
Hi. I'd like to know a contrast between Romans 7 versus in the book 1 John 3:6-8, where it says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. And, you know, on so on in verse 8.
All right.
Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil.
JC, thank you very much. It's a very good question. How would you deal with these two passages that would seem to be in opposition to one another?
Well, there are a couple of ways it seems to me that we can look at that. When we are talking about sinning in terms of the abiding in sinning, is talking about a life of sinning that lacks repentance. In other words, that lacks the very thing that the Pharisee lacked when he was praying there also with the publican or the tax collector. The abiding of sin is when sin, as it were, is functioning in such a way that you're excluding it from being covered by the grace of Christ. And that's just exactly what an unrepentant heart does. So sinning in self-righteousness separates one from the righteousness and forgiveness of Christ.
So ironically, Dr. Hine, some of those who would say, I am no longer a sinner, and then deny their sinfulness, and therefore do not repent of the sins they commit and their sinful state, in fact, fall under this passage of 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 and 8.
Exactly. It's the kind of thing, oddly enough, that publican who seems to be in the eyes of the world, and even in his own eyes, just like St. Paul saw himself as chief of sinners, as the greatest of sinners, is one who goes home justified because he is living, as it were, in the promises of mercy and grace that God brings to us through Christ Jesus.
Folks, we're coming to you live this Sunday night, December the 11th. We will continue to respond to your phone calls and to your email in the next hour. 1-800-730-2727. Two free phone lines over there on my phone. 1-800-730-2727. And this break is a great time to call. We'll be giving away the book, Dying to Live, The Power of Forgiveness, to listeners with the best questions and comments in the next hour. 1-800-730-2727 or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, you can only listen to this next hour on the Internet. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen Online, and you'll be able to hear the entire next hour as we continue our conversation with Dr. Stephen Hine on Simultaneously Saint and Sinner. Call during this break. Be part of the conversation. 1-800-730-2727. In Christ, we are everything that we have been declared by God to be. In Christ. Saints. Holy. Forgiven. Innocent. Exonerated. Redeemed. Washed. Perfect. In Christ. That is all ours in Him. Why? Because His holiness, His righteousness, His purity, His blood has washed us. And all that is His is reckoned to us by God. That's what it means to be justified, declared righteous for Christ's sake. Or, as the prophet Isaiah says, clothed with robes of righteousness, Christ's own righteousness. That makes us, in God's eyes, perfect saints. Apart from Christ, none of that is ours. We can't come up with it on our own. All we do apart from Christ is sin. There's nothing of a saint in any of us apart from Christ. 100% sinner. And as a Christian in Christ, 100% saint. And this is the paradox, not only of the Christian life, of the Christian. This is the paradox of Romans chapter 7. This is the paradox of every Christian struggling in Christ. A new creation in Adam, the old dead man. And in Christ, one day, in Christ, everything that we are declared to be now will be all that we are because of His death for us at the cross and what He has done for us sinners. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.